Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at LeBron James and the rest of the always interesting Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning from FearTheSword.com, the internet's biggest and best Cleveland Cavaliers blog. You can find us on Twitter at FearTheSword, find the pod on Twitter and Facebook at FearTheSword, and me on Twitter and Facebook at CWMWrites. Talking about last night's Cavs-Raptors game today, and all I really have to say to start this off is, wow, wow, wow. That game felt very over at halftime. You could have checked the mood of everyone in the arena, the people I was talking to on in the media section, checking the pulse of people I follow on Twitter, the chats I was having with people during this game. Cavs were down 15 at the half and looked very dead after that second quarter. Come all the way back and beating Toronto 132-129, a game the Cavs, I think, didn't need to have, but it was good that they did it. Again, they're missing five guys in this game, so no Kyle Korver due to the death of his brother Kirk, no Larry Nance, no Rodney Hood, no Jetty Osman, and no Tristan Thompson. So five guys, several rotation players, and the Cavs beat a Raptors team that has been the best team in the East this year. And yes, Toronto played the night before. They've had a brutal travel schedule recently, but I think you take the win at its core. So what we're going to do today, talk through some of the big points, and then we're going to talk about some of the smaller points. You'll hear, as always, when I cover games in person, some audio. Today is George Hill, who I thought had a really, really nice game, and we'll talk about him for sure. But to start off, this game to me does not necessarily mean a ton. I don't mean that to say, you know, the Cavs, whatever, it doesn't matter that they beat Toronto and this game doesn't help them in the standings or give them some confidence. I think it does. What I mean in terms of what it doesn't mean is that I think tactically there's very little you can learn from this game because of who is missing. I've seen people crapping on the Cavs defense, you know, this morning as I get up and catch up on last night's work and reading, and I think the Cavs defense is bad, and I think there's a limit on how good it's going to be with this roster. Nance and Thompson are big pieces to be missing when you're playing the Raptors, who had Jonas Valanciunas and Jakob Poeltl really just have big size advantages against Kevin Love as a five. And Kevin Love is only in the second game back, right? LeBron is not playing very hard on defense right now. He maybe can't expend all of his energy on that end of the playoffs, but I can't imagine he's going to be this disengaged for large stretches of the game come the playoffs and come when the games really matter. And he was better late than he was early when the game was close and he needed to put in that extra effort. I think the things to me that stand out tackling this game is that, number one, the Raptors don't really still have anyone to defend LeBron. I think we sort of all knew this, but I think when you see it and they start with OG Anunoby, who's a rookie and very talented, but was reacting to every LeBron fake and twitch when he was guarding him one-on-one, he's going to struggle. Pascal Siakam did a solid job, but this is LeBron who had zero turnovers and almost 40 points and was very, very good. And yes, missed a couple shots that Siakam, you know, battled him on, but Pascal Siakam's not stopping LeBron James. And LeBron torched Serge Ibaka late. So who on Toronto's defending LeBron is a question I don't think they really have an answer to. I think they tried three options. They're going to try those three options in a playoff series. I wouldn't feel great about any of them. On the other side of this, Kevin Love, I think, you know, against Poeltl, who was very good, and Van Vliet, who was very good, and those bench units, I think Kevin Love is going to be really important, but I also think his role in that series is going to be probably best when he's going to be maybe dominating some of the smaller guys that Toronto's going to play at the four. So that's Siakam, if that's OG Anunoby, if that's CJ Miles slots in there a little bit, he's going to have more success than he's going to have against Valanciunas. Now, he did really well rebounding, I think, against Valanciunas, but later on in the game, more so than early, I think he cut off ball, that he came off screens, and that's going to pull Valanciunas out of the paint and pull Poeltl out of the paint. But I also think the size of, you can see a size disadvantage there for Love at the five, and that's why Nance, that's why Thompson is going to be so important. And Ziza struggled last night, so it's not as if he, I think, is necessarily fully ready for that. Like, Poeltl just outplayed him last night, and that kind of isn't surprising, but also telling. So look at LeBron a little bit deeper. He last night had 17 assists and 0 turnovers, 35 points, 8 rebounds, a couple steals, just a generally overall very good game from LeBron James. This is a guy who look, is not always, again, playing that hard on defense. He's not always exactly doing sort of what you expect. But this is a guy who really just dominated in every way you could ask him to. He made all four. He went to the line 14 times, making 12 of 14 a very good performance for him. He had the one steal. He was 11 of 19 from the field and could have been a little better. He didn't take too many threes and settle for jumpers. He was attacking in the rim and getting downhill when he's the hardest to defend it and forcing the refs to call fouls on him, which is something he has talked about not always getting. And just to talk about how pinpoint he was, you could go look at any of his assists, and just the vision he's having and picking apart this defense was just incredible. And if you look specifically at the Kevin Love play from the end of the game, Kevin Love is someone that teams account for. Teams are going to track that guy. Teams are going to keep their eye on him because he's, you know, been the second best player on this team. You know, he's been the guy who, especially right now, is the guy LeBron's going to count on. But what happens here is you have LeBron in this game is driving the paint. LeBron drives the paint, he gets into the middle, and Toronto just collapses on him, right? Lowry swipes at him, Ibaka has to come over. There's no one really on Kevin Love as a result of this because the defense just has to scramble. Love's wide open in the corner. LeBron sees him, finds him significantly at the right point, and Love gets off his three, and there's literally no one on Toronto that has any chance of getting there and actually making a contest on that shot. Not Siakam, not Lowry, not Ibaka, with Ibaka actually guarding Love at this point. LeBron just shreds them because that's what he does, and there's nothing Toronto could really do about it. Love gets his 1,000th career three on this bucket. He kind of clinched the win. Toronto got within one again after this, and he got a tad bit close late based on the free throws, but Love really clinched this game with a three, and it was LeBron's passing that set him up. More so than his points, more so than anything else he did, his passing in this game to me was just incredible. You had some people on Twitter suggesting that maybe this is LeBron's best passing season ever. You know, I think that certainly could be the case. I also just think the guy is just still very, very good. And I think if last night proves anything, it's that, look, the Cavs have their flaws. The Cavs have limitations. They're going to have these issues. And we're going to have to see how some of this holds up in the playoffs. But when they have LeBron James and he's playing like this, it is really, really hard to imagine that there is a team in the Eastern Conference that is going to beat him four times. Beating LeBron four times is always going to be hard. It takes, you know, the Warriors to really do it. It takes teams like the Spurs when LeBron's with the Heat to do it. Is Toronto, is Boston, or any of these teams this year up for it? And I think there's really good reason to doubt that. And I think that alone, even if the Cavs have issues, even if the Cavs have things they have to figure out, LeBron playing like this should give you some very, very good confidence about where this team could go. Kevin Love, to talk about his second game back. I think he looked a little tired. I think there he still had a good game. His stat line is very, very good. 30 minutes for him, probably four more than when he played when he came back. 8 of 15 from the field, 4-6 from 3, 3-4 from the line. He had 12 boards. 4 assists, which I really like when he gets 4 or 5 assists a game, and then 23 points, just the one turnover and the one foul. He, post-game, talked about hitting a wall. He talked about how he felt a little bit more tired than he did the other night, and that he just kind of had to battle through, and I think you saw that a little bit. Now, I asked him in his scrum if that was because he was playing the five, and he said that's possible. It could be that just the extra physical toll that he's getting from banging inside with Valanciunas and Jakob Poeltl is something that wears on him a little bit. And I think he talked about that well earlier in the season when he kind of was adjusting to playing the five pre-Nance and with Thompson out in particular, and Thompson coming off the bench. I think that's part of it, but he was also in a really good mood. You saw him go on Twitter and just be having fun with that game. I also asked him if he is going to play the five when everyone's healthy, when Thompson comes back, when Nance comes back, and he said, you know, he's not exactly sure, but he said he thinks he's going to play, there'll be a mix of him playing the four and the five. I talked about this on yesterday's show with Mike Zavgana, which you should go back and listen to if you haven't already, about how I think he's going to play a lot of four, just I think it's the best fit for him and with his group. But I think you saw the potential with the spacing. and the fluidity the Cavs can have when they have Love at the 5, LeBron at the 4, and shooters out there. And that could be three guards. That could, I mean, I don't really count Jeff Green as a shooter, but he did make two threes last night and played okay, actually, and guarded DeRozan well. But you could do these different lineups where Love's at the 5, that you're just a little bit more flexible. And, you know, Nance, I think how he looks with Love will kind of tell us how much they're going to do that. But I think Love is on the right track. He's two games in. He looks really good. He's going to take him some time to kind of get used to that wear and tear again. But I think for the Cavs, you feel really good about how he played. I think he said a lot of the right things about what he's talking about. I think, I think him playing the 5 makes sense. I think him hitting that wall also and saying he hit that kind of tired wall makes a lot of sense. So good game for Kevin Love. Hit that big 3, 1,000 career threes for him. Another milestone for him. And a night where LeBron was just so great. You kind of forget about what Love does sometimes. Kevin Love became, actually, with that, he's the only player with 1,000 career threes and 10 rebounds per game. That's per the Cavs. They pointed that out after the game. But that's he's not a unicorn in the way we talk about unicorns in the modern NBA, the way we talk about Cad and Porzingis and Embiid. But that's rare. What he's doing is obviously very, very rare, and he deserves a lot of credit for that and adapting his game. The three-point shooting is what makes him especially useful, even if he's slow on defense and has a limitation. But he was really good last night, and I think he's going to continue to be key going forward. Real quick, we'll just talk about the injuries real quick. Tristan Thompson, per Larry Drew, said he's close to coming back. Ditto for Hood. Obviously, Tristan's got the ankle injury. Hood's got the back issue. They were both questionable. It wouldn't shock me if they played Friday against the Suns. That would kind of be, I think, an ideal landing spot for them. As for Larry Nance, who I think they miss more than anyone right now, and I think it's pretty obvious they miss more from anyone right now, they said he looks like he's going to be back this weekend if everything goes well. It's not 100% sure yet, but Sunday in Brooklyn seems to be the date they're targeting for him to return. That would mean he would miss Friday, but come back for Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Miami next week. That would be really good to get him some reps with Kevin Love. And the Cavs have a little bit of a softer spot on the schedule right now, so it's a good time for guys to come back and be able to make some mistakes. And then Kyle Korver, we don't know when he's going to be back from the team or back with the team, but he's a guy that is dealing with something personal right now. He has obviously dealing with the death of his brother. They're going to update us when he gets back. But Korver, nothing for him yet. But I wouldn't really expect him back Friday from based on what I've been told. But today's show is going to have a clip here now from George Hill. Last night, 36 minutes for him, 22 points, 10 of 11 from the field. He didn't have any assists, but two steals, three rebounds, was very aggressive. LeBron and Larry Drew both talked about how him being aggressive is a really big positive for the Cavs. But here's him after the game in his post-game scrum. And then we'll be back with some more analysis from the Cavs and their win over the Raptors.
George, you got the rim. Is this a case of taking what you were given? Were they giving you that?
You know, it's a case of just trying to be aggressive. You know, I've been saying it all along that, you know, I need to be more aggressive and look to play better. And tonight, you know, my teammates, you know, believed in me and tried to make plays.
This is an organization that's gone to 3 finals. Most of the players here, some of the guys are young and some of the guys have never been in the playoffs before. So to them, to this new team, how important is a night like tonight?
Yeah, super important. You know, anytime we can get a big win like this, you know, especially with guys down and things like that, it's a confidence booster. You know, hopefully get all the guys back and continue to build off this win and try to, you know, be on the right foot going into postseason.
You going up, the Raptors, they're two guys, DeRozan and Lowry. They're who drive the do you go into a game like tonight just thinking if you and Calderon can keep it close with them? That's a mitigating factor that could help you guys out.
You know, we're going to the game, do whatever it takes to win the game. You know, no matter if it's us scoring or, you know, Kevin scoring or anybody else. You know, we don't try to feed any self stats and things like that. We just, you know, play the game the right way.
How's Kevin's return helped you?
And it was good. You know, he's talking to me, you know, helping me better on the court, and, you know, just being another threat out there has opened up the floor a lot more. So we're feeding off of it.
Coach Drew said you were supposed to foul. Did you sort of kick yourself when it happened?
Sure. You know, I kind of asked the question to foul. You know, I'm not a big believer in that, but, you know, that's what the coaches asked for. And, you know, I guess we were just not on the same page. You know, in my head, I was saying I wanted to get more seconds off the clock, you know, but I guess we got that miscued a little bit. So, you know, that's a mistake on my part.
Coach Drew was saying that there's a game every season that kind of changes a team. Does that feel that way to you tonight?
I mean, I hope so. Hope for the better. You know, I hope it changes our identity, you know, to get up in guys and, you know, play a little better defensively and things like that. But it was just a great overall team win. You know, I think every guy on this team chipped in and did a hell of a job.
You didn't play nearly as many minutes the other night, but the other night you were scoreless. Tonight you come out against the Raptors and score 22. Did you have any kind of conversation with yourself or conversation with coaches or anything like that between that game and this one that played into 22?
I always talk to myself when I play like crap. I've been playing like crap for the last couple weeks, I think. You know, it's been hard on myself and, you know, staying in the gym with our coaches and things like that, shooting more, watching more film, and just trying to figure out how I can, you know, find myself again. And, I had a great last couple of days shooting in practice and things like that, and this morning, and I felt pretty good. And, you know, watching film, figuring out, you know, all my mistakes that I'm doing where I'm not being aggressive or taking advantage of opportunities. They came again tonight, and I took advantage of them.
Is that the remedy? Is it just that simple to just work inside out to get yourself going?
I mean, it's easy. Like, if you can get a couple easy baskets, you know, your rhythms and things feel a lot better. So I just got to continue to build off of it.
All right.
So there you have George Hill, who again had a very good game last night, was very aggressive. I wouldn't really read too much into that zero assists. I think he'll get them more when there are more guys, and LeBron kind of just took care of the assisting for everyone last night. Just real quick, to look at the one part of the game that went really wrong, that second quarter, the Cavs are down, they're actually up by four, right, after one. They are up three when Love comes back with 10 minutes left in the quarter. By 8:46, it's tied. At 46 all, the Cavs have a couple turnovers at this point. LeBron comes back pretty soon around here, and things just kind of unraveled. It wasn't necessarily something the Cavs totally did really bad, but it was just DeRozan makes a lot of shots, and Lowry makes a lot of shots. What Toronto kept doing was moving the ball, attacking, getting easy looks, and just taking advantage of some of the Cavs' bad tendencies and some of their limitations right now. Specifically, the bench for Toronto was predictably fantastic. They have one of the best benches in the NBA. It's very young, but with Fred VanVleet, with Poeltl, with Siakam, with CJ Miles, who didn't play last night, but will be back assumably soon in a potential playoff series between the Cavs and the Raptors. They have this very deep bench that can get buckets and plays really hard and really gives them an advantage against a lot of teams. That's a very deep team. In this game, the Raptors bench just completely outplayed the Cavs. In the second quarter alone, there was a 27-7 scoring advantage for Toronto's bench. And to run through just some of the points they got, 9 points from Siakam, 4 from Norm Powell, 17 from Poeltl, 16 from VanVleet, 12 from Delon Wright. The Cavs, 6 from Zizic, 4 from Clarkson, who was only 2-7 from the field, 0-2 from 3. 10 from Jarrett Smith, who had a very good game, and then 3 from John Holland. The Cavs, I think, will benefit from their guys getting healthy. They'll benefit and get more production. Not necessarily scoring, but if Hood and Korver and everyone is back, they'll probably look a little bit, they're just going to look a little bit better. But it's something, I think, to watch if these two teams do play in the playoffs, and they do have one more game in the regular season that is 8 days before the end of the regular season, so depending on how things shake out, it might not mean that much for either team. But in the playoffs, that's a very deep Toronto team. The Cavs are going to have to probably weather a game or two like this where that Toronto bench is just on fire. And that's going to be just, I think, something that is an advantage for Toronto. It's a box you check for them and saying, okay, if they have an ingredient to pull off an upset, that's, I got to think, be part of it. Looking at George Hill here and J.R. Smith, I think for Hill, this is the type of game that's going to make him get this way more minutes than Clarkson. I think the 36-21 split is my ideal kind of breakdown for them. And, you know, Calderon's 27 minutes is actually more than Clarkson. And he actually played amazing in this game. 5 of 7, 4 of 4 from the line, 14 points, 5 of 7 from 3. Good game from Jose Calderon, but, or 4 of 4 from 3. Yeah. The thing with Hill that I really like is that he just put himself in positions to succeed and went for them. He wasn't cautious. He wasn't waiting for things to develop for him. He said, okay, I need to go get mine. I need to help out LeBron. I need to take my shots and attack these bigs that are they're trying to guard me with and make my presence felt. That is how George Hill got into a rhythm. He took his open shots too. He just took advantage of opportunities as he presented them. This is coming off a game where he didn't score, didn't play the fourth, and this is the complete opposite. He cannot probably do this every night. It's not really his game to be ultra aggressive, but the Cavs need him to pick his spots like this. They need him to score, and I think when he does this and plays like this, it's going to be a lot harder for Lou or for Larry Drew to go back to Jordan Clarkson, who they know has an irrational confidence, who has the mentality of, I'm going to get mine, and I'm going to take those shots. If Hill can do this and provide that supplemental scoring, make his guy work, and while also providing that defense, it makes it a lot easier, and I think you'll see less of the team maybe riding a Jordan Clarkson in the fourth quarter, when I think I would always rather have Hill, and he's just a better player, better defender, better just kind of a better overall player by I think a decent margin over Clarkson. When he plays like this, it's a reminder of how good he can be and how good of a fit he can be. Is there some talk after the game of does Calderon help him? Just having that other guy there to create help him. He kind of played that down. I think it really is as simple as it's aggressive. Drew said he talked to him about it. LeBron seemed very happy about Hill's aggression, but the Cavs need more of that going forward. And for JR, he had a three near the end of the third quarter, the last bucket of the third quarter for the Cavs that made the Q go into standing ovation. It was the loudest the Q has been in a long time, as far as at least when I've been there. Had 10 points again, 2 of 3 from 3, 4 of 6 from the field. Got some shots up, had the 5 boards. A really good game from JR. I don't know what the recipe for him was in this game that made him play like this. He was not my watching focus during this game, but I think if you're looking at another really positive thing, if JR can continue to do this when Korver's back, when Hood's back, even if it's in 22 minutes or 20 minutes instead of 27, that would be a really big win for the Cavs. And it gives them another defender. It gives them another, or at least in a theory, a defender, another shot maker. And they're always going to be better when that guy can make his shots and provide something and isn't just, you know, taking really bad shots and missing them. He was taking some very JR on-brand shots, but he stroked them, and that's what he does. And when he can do that, it just, again, gives you more depth and gives you another veteran you're going to kind of, because you know he's going to play in the playoffs. So it's just going to be, frankly, and it sounds really dumb to just say this so simply, but it's better off when JR can just be like this. When they're having the role guys hit on like this, it takes pressure off LeBron, it takes pressure off Kevin Love, and it only just boosts them up. Because they can, if they're playing at that really high level that we're seeing them play at, getting shots like that from JR make difference in tight games. So the last thing we'll talk about here is the playoff positioning. As of Thursday morning, things have changed a little bit in the East. Now, the Philadelphia 76ers, a team the Cavs had kind of been bumped up against in the 3-6 matchup, are now at the 4 seed. So this is the current order of the East. Toronto's at number 1 with 53 wins. The Celtics are at 48 wins in second place. The Cavs are at third with 42 wins. The 76ers fourth with 40 wins, but just ahead of game in the loss column of the Pacers and of the Wizards, who are 5 and 6 respectively. The Heat at 7, the Bucks at 8, with that kind of looking like certainly going to be the playoff picture with the Pistons 5 games back of the Bucks, the Hornets 6.5 back of the Bucks. This is a situation I think the Cavs can be okay with. I think if they get any of these teams, they're going to advance. They're going to feel good about their chances in the first round and beyond. I think that they would certainly, I think, like Boston in the second round. I think they'd be very okay with that matchup. I think avoiding Philly in round one has pros and cons. I think a first-round series against Philly with the crowd in Philly, with the the youthfulness of that team could be a really good test for them to start off the playoff run. But Washington would have Beal, have Wall, have and be a good, solid team. And I think there's some heat there between those teams. It could be a fun first-round series. But this is kind of, I think, what is ahead for the Cavs. They're six back of Boston. They're not going to get that two seed. For them to catch Toronto, which is not going to happen, they needed to win last night and then win every game the rest of the season. For Toronto to fall out of the number one seed and the Caps to take them, Toronto would have to lose every game the rest of the way. There's not many games left. We're getting very, very close to the end here. I think there's 12 games left or something like that, 11 games left. Not many games left in the regular season. It's just hard for the math to work out. The Cavs would have to defend that three seed. They're 1.5 games up on Philly and Indiana, and two up on Washington. And then they just need to kind of see how that is going to slot itself out at the six seed. Philly, Indiana, and Washington are all basically on top of each other. The Heat could push themselves into the conversation, but they're two back of the Wizards and Pacers in loss column, three behind Philly. So it seems a little bit less likely that they're going to get themselves up into that conversation unless they go on another win streak or something like that. But Philly, Indiana, Washington, all possibilities. I think all of them provide different challenges. I think Philly provides obviously the biggest challenge, but it's of note that the Cavs basically have the inside track, I think, on that three seed. They're going to keep getting healthier, and they're going to, I think, if they can finish the season strong and kind of hold on to the number one seed, get to 50 wins. I mean, they have to win 8 games out of there and be very, very good the rest of the way, and we'll see if that happens. But this is a Cavs team that is in a good spot. They're still going to have that three seed amid all the drama, and they're going to get something interesting in the first run. I think a test for this team could be really good. We heard last night them talking about, can one game change your season? Larry Drew said it could. LeBron said, no, like, we have me. We're good. You know, Kevin and George Hill basically both said that it's, you know, you hope that kind of sparks something for them. I think a playoff series that they get pushed would kind of set them into gear for the rest of this run. I don't think they're going to win the title. I still feel very, very skeptical that they can pull that feat off, but getting out of the East is a very accomplishable goal for this group, and I think a first-round series, whoever they get out of those three teams, with how muddled it is right now, I think they'll be okay. I think the entertainment value, Philly is obviously number one, Washington probably number two because of the heat there, and dating back to the Deshaun Stevenson stuff back years ago, and what Beal and Wall have kind of said, and then Indiana, for whatever reason, always just kind of rankles the Cavs and gives them fits, and we saw them play the Cavs last year, so it would be an interesting series no matter who they get, but that's where it currently stands. The Cavs winning helps them, and it gives them a little insulation against Philly for that three seed. But that's going to be it for today's show. Find me on Twitter again at CWMWrites. Find the pod on Twitter and Facebook at Lockdown Cavs. Be back tomorrow with another pod. Not sure what it'll be on yet, but subscribe on iTunes. Don't miss an episode. Leave a 5-star rating and review if you want to support the podcast. That's the best way to do so. Thank you for everyone who has already. And again, the Cavs beat the Raptors in a crazy, crazy game at the Q. Just an unbelievable atmosphere. Felt like a playoff game. And it's a reminder that we're getting closer and that LeBron James is going to be very hard for any team to beat in the playoffs. It's been Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning. Talk to you again soon.